This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com. Hello and welcome to the Toastmasters podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to the Toastmasters podcast. My name is Beau Bennett, and I am joined by my good friend, Ryan Levesque. And Ryan and I are going to be speaking with several different people that are going to be not only attending, but speaking at the 2014 International Convention in Malaysia. And who are we speaking with? Well, Mr. Florian Mjuk, Mr. Douglas Kruger, Mr. Mark Brown, and Mr. Lance Miller. How's that for a lineup? So let's get right to it and speak to these fine gentlemen. Florian Mjuk joined Toastmasters in 2005, and public speaking has since become his passion. In 2009, he turned his passion into a successful profession under the Florian Mjuk brand. He offers communication seminars, presentation coaching, keynote speeches, and event moderation to international companies in three languages, English, German, and Spanish. Florian is the author of two books, The 7-Minute Star, Become a Great Speaker in 15 Simple Steps, and Plus Plus, Patterns for Better Communication. Welcome, Florian!
Hey, how's it going over there?
It's going great, and you are in Geneva.
Oh yeah, I just landed. It's tomorrow. I have a date with one of my clients, Santander Private Banking, and they're here in Geneva, the European headquarters.
Nice. It sounds exciting. Congratulations.
Yeah, and even better because on Wednesday we have a Toastmasters Two Combined Clubs summer party, which is even better than I can join.
Oh boy, sounds wonderful. All right, we're going to be talking a little bit about your educational session coming up at the Toastmasters International Convention in Malaysia. That's education session number 3. The title is The Speech Structure Building. Florian, can you give us a summary of your educational session? What exactly it's going to be about?
Well, as you know, as a great communicator, curiosity, suspense plays an important role, so I cannot spill all the beans here.
Just a few beans. But,
yeah, a few. Well, structure is vital, and since I'm German, I'm a predestined person to talk about structure. We love beer, we love football, we just won the World Cup, and we love structure. Now, if you take Project 2 of the Competent Communicator Manual, it's Organize Your Speech, and I was always hyped and psyched about this structure behind. And when I started to do it as a professional, my public speaking career, when I started 5 years ago, one of the first things when I set up my first seminars is I created a structure exercise that in 4 simple steps helps anyone who wants to build, create quite impromptu any speech or presentation with slides. He can use this 4-step process with combined with the speech structure building and creates in such a way his speech or her speech in a very, very simple way.
Now I have a question for you. Are you afraid that somebody's going to come along and do it in 3 steps?
The rule of rhetoric is the 3, so I had to do 4.
All right.
It doesn't matter. Be a copycat. It doesn't matter. It's not rocket science. It's based on a visualization of Project Number 2. It's like a Greek temple, but like Mark Hunter, and I think you interviewed Mark Hunter in your podcast as well. My friend from Australia said, "What makes the speech structure building special is the." Yeah, but that bean I cannot spill right now.
Okay. All right. That's fair enough. So what are you hoping your audience will take away from the session?
I've worked now. I do a lot of education sessions throughout my district, 59 formerly. Now we just split in Europe. And I do a lot of these exercises in all my seminars across Europe. And this is the biggest takeaway for people when I go to companies like the gaming industry or to banks or frozen food companies that I also have. The biggest takeaway when I ask them 2 years later is the speech structure building. I still remember because such an easy tool is so important for people who are not every week in Toastmasters sessions. The real world, they're not. And for them and for us, a good process and 4 simple steps is really, really helpful.
All right. So I know you don't want to spill beans. You made that very clear. Can you leave our listeners with at least just one good tip from your presentation?
First, collect content, more topics, and then go from more to less. Our brain is very simple. Our brain works like this. Once we have an idea, we use it. But when you force your brain to come up with more ideas than just one or two or three, just more, and then go back, it's like a Michelangelo creating the David in Florence. And you mean you have this block, and then you have to take it out and take it out and take it out. And then you have the real essence of what you want to communicate, your real message. And that is one of the steps in my four steps.
That's great. That's great advice. Well, Florian, thank you so much. Your session is going to be Thursday, August 21st, 2014 at 12:45. And again, that's education number 3, the speech structure building. I encourage our listeners to check it out. Florian, thank you so much for being on with us. It's been wonderful.
It's going to be a great pleasure to meet you in person, all the other ones, all the friends from around the world. See you there.
All right, you take care.
Joining us now on the show is Advanced Toastmaster Silver, Douglas Kruger. Douglas Kruger is an author, a motivational speaker, and presentation skills coach based in Johannesburg, South Africa. Douglas has won his district's international speech contest a record 5 times, and he placed 2nd in Toastmasters 2004 World Champion of Public Speaking. Douglas has written 3 books on topics related to public speaking, expert positioning, and leadership. Douglas Kruger, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Douglas.
Fantastic. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be chatting to you.
Great. So, Douglas, you are going to be presenting a session at the International Conference entitled How to Position Yourself as an Expert. Can you give us a summary of what your educational session is going to be about?
Yes, absolutely. The heart and soul of the idea is asking the question, whatever it is that you do, how do you become the Oprah of your industry? How can you be seen as the Arnold Schwarzenegger of your world? And I use Arnold Schwarzenegger as an interesting example. You know, you ask people about the world of bodybuilding, he's the first name that springs to mind. And yet he's been out of that industry for the last 3 decades. Mm. And that's the kind of lasting power, the iconic status of his name. So my topic is really saying, whatever world you're involved in, whether it's the world of business, whether you're climbing the corporate ladder, whether you are a professional cartoonist or a dentist, how do you become seen as the top iconic name in your field?
Question for you, are there steroids involved?
Absolutely not. No, in fact, there's more PR than anything else involved. And the fascinating thing about this one is that we always assume that performance itself is enough to take you to the top of your game. And it turns out that it's actually not true. If you take an industry like, say, the world of cooking, the world of being, a chef on television, there are thousands, there must be tens of thousands of highly qualified chefs around the world. And yet a couple of names like the Gordon Ramsays of the United Kingdom somehow rise to the top. And I often ask audiences, do you believe that that's because he is the single most qualified chef in the world? And the answer is clearly no. And I pose the question, do you think he's in the top 10, perhaps even the top 100 most qualified? And we consistently get the answer, no. And then I pose the question, then why is he out-earning all of them combined?
Mm. Another question you could ask is, do you think a McDonald's hamburger is the best-tasting hamburger in the world?
Yes, and in fact, actually, that's a very good argument. What you're looking at there is this incredibly strong brand and this iconic status of a brand. It's recognized all around the world. I mean, here I'm talking to you from Johannesburg in the southern tip of Africa, and McDonald's is a household name, and it's like that anywhere that you go. And as you suggest, it's not necessarily down to the quality of the burger.
That's a nice way of putting it. Very diplomatic of you.
I'm talking to Americans, so I'm trying to be diplomatic.
Gotcha. So what are you hoping that your audience will take away from this session?
What I'd like to challenge is some of the belief systems around how we earn and how we position ourselves in the market. Because for anyone who, like myself, comes from a working class or a middle class family, you are handed certain beliefs about what it takes to get ahead. And unfortunately, some of those beliefs simply aren't borne out by reality. We're told, for example, that it's all about keeping your nose down, working hard, not making waves. And the nature of the economy worldwide is now the opposite. It's the wave makers, the people with voices, the high impact communicators who are actually remunerated on the highest level. So I'd like to challenge a couple of core beliefs around work and wealth and income, and then provide some practical solutions on how people can get ahead.
Excellent. Do you think, I know you don't want to give away everything on this session here. We're just trying to give our audience a little taste, but could you give one tip from your presentation to our listeners to give them a...
Well, absolutely. Here's a very practical one, and it forms the basis of what I speak on. And it's not giving away too much because we build on this concept, but it is the foundation. I argue that experts exist at the intersection of three separate qualities. And if you don't have all three working together, you actually miss out on iconic status. And the three qualities are personality, knowledge, and publicity. And the way that I always state it is, if you have all of the knowledge, but none of the personality, you are merely a specialist. If you have all of the personality, but none of the knowledge, you are a Kardashian.
Oh, first McDonald's, now the Kardashians. Two American institutions.
Oh boy, good stuff. This sounds like it's going to be a really fascinating presentation, Douglas. And I see you are going to be delivering this on Thursday, August 21st. It's Educational Session 2 from 12:45 to 1:45 p.m. So we appreciate you joining us on the show to tell us about your session. We wish you the best with it. And thanks for coming by.
Yeah, thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure. I will see you in Kuala Lumpur.
All righty. Take care.
Lovely. Bye then.
Our next guest, Mark Brown, is the 1995 world champion of public speaking, having defeated more than 20,000 contestants from 14 countries. Originally from Kingston, Jamaica, Mark immigrated to the United States at age 18 with $40 and a dream of a better life. He spent 15 years working as a computer analyst before choosing to develop his public speaking skills. After recovering from a life-threatening illness in 1993, Mark made a commitment to excel as a communicator, and in 1995 won the World Championship of Public Speaking title. And Mark is going to be giving a session at the international convention called Instruments of Influence. Mark Brown, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Welcome, Mark.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen. It's my joy, my honor, my blessing, and my privilege to be here.
And ours to have you here. So, Mark, can you tell us, what is your session, Instruments of Influence, going to be about?
It's a general session designed to get the audience to acknowledge that we do have a lot more influence than we may believe or we may think. I'll cover a few points, one of which is for us to realize that we don't need to be a celebrity, a major player of a sport or a movie star, or even a world champion of public speaking to exert influence. We have influence over all kinds of people in our lives every single day. We'll focus on how to acknowledge the influence, find the influence, and to use influence effectively to change not only our own lives, but those with whom we come in contact on a day-to-day basis. Hmm.
See, Mark, it's too bad that you can't influence the members to actually go to the event, because you're not going to give them the speech until they're actually there. So that poses a problem.
Well, I know that Toastmasters does have a way of bringing people in. Now, we anticipate a really large crowd this time, and I really believe, as Toastmasters, we have the power to use the platform to influence our audiences and to use our homes or living rooms or conference centers and our classrooms to influence our students or family members and those we care about. Sure. And I really will key on that in our session in Kuala Lumpur.
So if there was one thing, what are you hoping your audience will take away from the session?
It is my desire that the audience will know that even though we may consider ourselves insignificant, what we have learned in life, lessons that we have gained, our experiences and our expertise are so valuable. There's someone out there who needs to hear from us, each of us, no matter who we may be, and we must use that influence to become a positive person, to become an instrument that will change our world, not in large or great or magnificent ways, but simply one life at a time. We all can do it. If a skinny, knock-kneed, buck-teeth kid from Kingston, Jamaica, who came to America with 40 bucks in his pocket, can do that, then anyone can.
All right.
Great. Now, Mark, without giving away the whole kit and caboodle, can you reach into the bag of your presentation and provide one of the gems that you'll be sharing, one of the tools, perhaps, that you'll be sharing with the audience?
One of my gems for the audience: you don't have to be a celebrity to have influence. It is true that many of us look to world champions, to world leaders, to people who have over the public eye. We quote them, we talk about them, we watch their lives unfold on television. But the truth is, the greatest impact we have are the people we love, who are close to us, our family, our friends, our neighbors, those we worship with, whom we go to school with, and those we share our Toastmasters meetings with. And our lives are important to them because they see a bit of us in themselves, and in that way, we do have influence. And I will expound upon that in my session as well.
Very good. Very good. Well, Mike, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to come on the show and share a little bit about your session with our audience. And again, Mark's session, Instruments of Influence, is scheduled for Friday, August 2nd from 4 to 5 p.m. It is a general session. So encourage everyone to check it out for sure. Mark Brown, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Mark.
Gentlemen, thank you. Have a blessed day.
All righty. You too.
Take care.
I have the pleasure of speaking with Lance Miller, Distinguished Toastmaster. A club's success is the responsibility of its members and leaders. Lance Miller, the 2005 World Champion of Public Speaking, will share how to foster effective officer teamwork and achieve distinguished recognition in your club. Lance was instrumental in building his home club, Renaissance Speakers, in Hollywood, California, to number 4 in the world with 95 members. And he'll explain how your club can be top ranking too. Lance, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
Thank you, Bo. Great to be here with you today.
Thanks. So 95 members. Wow. Do people get a chance to speak?
Well, that's one of the questions I get all the time. And one of the points I really make is that you need to gear your club to servicing the members, not gear the members to the capacity of the club. We actually created probably twice as many speaking opportunities in addition to our weekly meeting. We went to when we were at 95 members, we went to double meetings during the week sometimes. Mm-hmm. We created speaking opportunities so that everybody was speaking all the time. And I just want to let you know, a lot of people come to me and they go, 95 members, how horrible. I go, no, it was a blast. It was one of the most exciting things that I'd ever done in my life. It was so much fun to do that.
That sounds like it would be a lot of fun. It would be like a major presentation every club meeting.
Yeah, it was. Every meeting was a huge event. The energy was just through the roof. And I do want to say that was back in 1999 when mm-hmm. we did that. My club now is between usually 40 and 50 members, but we have consistently been one of the top 50 clubs in Toastmasters.
Now, in Hollywood, California, do you have a lot of actors and actresses in that club?
We don't get a lot of actors and actresses, but it's interesting. We have had some come through, and we've had some up and coming ones that have become, you know, had good roles and stuff. But here's the thing I wanted to say: they're really good at acting, but they're not good at speaking, and it's a completely different skill set. And they would come and they would be so nervous. They said, I'm so used to having a script in front of me and I have to create something on my own and just be myself on stage. So.
Interesting. So can you give us a little summary of your educational session?
Absolutely. One of the things that we did in our club is we really sat down and started figuring out how to make this work. And we realized that Toastmasters International and the organization gave us certain tools, but it was really up to us to apply those tools in the club. And so what I go through, number one, is I go through a mindset shift that has to occur in running a successful club. And the primary mindset shift is the fact that nobody is going to build your club but you. And I see a lot of people that sit around, and we get so used to in life that somebody else will do it if we don't. I mean, that happens when we're kids in our family. We go to school. We go to work. Somebody else is putting it there. If we don't, your club is an exact mirror of the leadership skill present with the members in that club. And I really get people to start looking at what they can do to get their club up and running. One of the other things I really push is that a lot of people get more concerned with the rules than the results. I'm very results-oriented. The rules are there to keep you on the road. But you don't win any Super Bowls or win the World Cup by following the rules only. You have to get the results. And we were very result-oriented. And the third thing I would just say that we really, really, really push is using the Toastmasters training programs extensively, where we actually request every member in our club to complete either a speaking or leadership level every year. And one of the big problems I see with a lot of clubs is they don't actually get people doing the program. Therefore, they're not winning with the program.
Well, Lance, you actually answered all my questions, so we have a few minutes left. why don't you tell me what you're up to these days?
Well, let me just tell you a little bit more about this session. I really am interested in having Toastmasters come to this thing, because since I won the world championship, I really looked at what I was going to do. Keep in mind, too, 6 years before winning the world championship, I was one of the core team members in this club that built it up to this 95-member club back when Toastmasters had a distinguished club program that recognized the clubs internationally at their different levels. Mm-hmm. Since 2000, we've had the existing distinguished club program, which doesn't do that. But I've had two major wins in Toastmasters, and one of them was building that club. The second one was winning the world championship, and I really feel I could have never won the world championship if I didn't create a great club environment for me to challenge me as a speaker. And with that, and one of the things I break out is how the officers work together. A lot of the officer training I do in Toastmasters teaches me how to fill out the forms for Toastmasters International. I go through how you work together as a team to run the club, and that's a completely different skill set. And that was something we had to develop in our club because, like I said, I did all the officer training, and a lot of it either doesn't get understood or gets missed in the process of it. But I'm really hands-on on building a dynamic club environment for someone to come in and you know, change the way somebody lives their life through Toastmasters.
Now, this is interesting, Lance. I actually gave you an opportunity to talk all about yourself, and you took that time and talked about Toastmasters, the organization. You know, they should give you some kind of award. Oh, wait a minute, they did.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, I'm interested. My game is helping Toastmasters win with Toastmasters. This organization and the opportunities I've had with it have changed my life so markedly because it really gave me a place that I could come into and make mistakes and fail and screw up and not get killed for it. Because when I was in my business environments and I was making leadership mistakes, man, people were upset. Uh-huh. You know, in Toastmasters, I could come in and make a leadership mistake. And we had this great team and we go, well, that didn't work. Great, let's figure out what will work. And I really learned my leadership style. I learned my strengths. More importantly, I learned my weaknesses and how to make them into strengths. And I really want that for other people, because I see so many people struggling. Not Toastmasters is a mirror of life, and I see them struggling in life to really get up every morning and be living the life they should be living. And I know that Toastmasters is not the answer to all of it, but it is a venue that allows you to get on your feet and think for yourself, and that's where all of life begins.
That's wonderful. All right, Lance, thanks so much. Let's remind our listeners that your event is called the Club Building Session, and it's Wednesday, August 20th, and that's 2:30 to 3:30 p.m., and that is the first full day of the conference? That's when people arrive? You think people are coming?
The conference, the opening ceremony is Wednesday night, and okay. So I really want people to know I'm Wednesday afternoon. Mm. I want them to know that this is, if you come Wednesday night when you think the conference starts, I'm 5 hours before that. But come to this thing. I will guarantee you that you will have a blast, and I'm going to guarantee you that you will have an insight into Toastmaster meetings and clubs that you have never heard before, because that is the feedback that I constantly get from the over 50 districts that I've gone out to and done this training for, and watch people come alive realizing how they can win with Toastmasters.
All right. Sounds great. Lance, thanks so much for being with us. I appreciate it. And have a great time there in Malaysia.
Hey, my first trip to Malaysia. I'm really looking forward to it. I've got a ton of emails from people who want to take me out and show me around. I'm excited to meet the Toastmasters there and meet all my new friends.
All right. You take care.
Bye-bye.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.